on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? Welcome back. It's another edition of the YoteCast podcast as we continue to navigate the month of April. Before you know it, we are a month or so away from pretty much all sports being done with their seasons. You know, we're in a month time, we'll be done with the conference tournament for softball and track and field. Track will be getting ready to go to the West Region preliminaries and then on to hopefully the national event as well coming up in early June. But things are quickly coming to an end as we gear up for the Summit League Women's Golf Championship, which gets underway on Sunday of this week, and it runs through Tuesday, and then the men's tournament will be a week later. So we'll see how things play out here over the course of the week. It's been quite a past week for USD. A couple of big events, and I'm not talking about just like a game, but obviously the Calling All Coyotes event. And it was a tremendous event in Sioux Falls last week. Over 800 people in the building, and it's been amazing. I've been fortunate to not only be there, but be involved with the event over the last several years. And to watch that thing continue to grow, where they continue to make more and more space, is just tremendous. And it's really cool to see the growth, and obviously that means there's a lot of interest, there's a lot of support in Coyote athletics, and all of that is important as we continue to try to watch these teams build for championship contenders. You know, coaches are grinding, athletes, I guarantee they're working their tails off trying to give you the wins and the championship opportunities that obviously you're trying to support. So all of it is a great big deal, and it's so cool to see that kind of support. Another big event that happened this week on Wednesday was the Charlies, and this is the Student Athlete Awards Banquet. And we get to find out, you know, who the Athlete of the Year is for the Male Athlete of the Year, Male Rookie of the Year, Women's Rookie of the Year, Women's Athlete of the Year, the Scholar Athletes of the Year, Coyote Character Awards. I mean, there's so many different awards that get announced during this, and it's really cool. It's all an internal thing. The Student Athlete Advisory Committee is in charge of it, and basically how a lot of these awards work, not all of them, but a lot of these awards work, is coaches either pick or nominate for different awards, and then the ones that they nominate for, the Student Athlete Advisory Committee is responsible for voting. And so this is all an internal deal, and it's really neat. It's always a fun event. I've been involved with it the last few years, and it's cool. You get some of the student athletes who come in, they're all dressed dressed to the nines like they're going to the formal banquet, and you get others that come in and they're just as casual as can be, and I think it's great. However you feel comfortable, it's about an hour and a half long event, and then we wrap it up, and it's really cool to see all of that support and a lot of fun. And a lot of pictures happen because they're all dressed up and all that good stuff as well. Coming up this weekend on Saturday, it's the spring football game. It wraps up the spring season for Coyote football, and there's been a lot of changes, obviously, to Coyote football with the coaches, coaching staff, all of that. So we're excited to see the spring game. We will have a radio broadcast of the spring game. It will contain interviews, some of the play action, the action that's going on the field, and we'll describe a lot of that for you. So if you're not able to make it, invite you to tune in on GoYotes.com, our flagship radio station, Classic Hits 106.3. You can also check it out on the Varsity Network app as well. So download that Varsity Network app, and our broadcast will be available there wherever you have access to and service to for a cell phone or internet connection, whatever it may be. But all of that coming up this week. And the spring game, it's going to get going about 1 o'clock. They'll do some individual team individual drills for a little bit, or position drills, I should say. And then they'll get into about 70, 75 plays of a scrimmage that's going to go until, 2:20, 2:30, something like that. Great opportunity, meet and greet opportunity for players, for the new coaches, all of that stuff. So if you're able to make it out, it'd be great to great to see a bunch of people make it on Saturday for an hour, 90 minutes, a little under 2 hours, all that good stuff. So check it out. All right, on this week's podcast, speaking of football, I had a chance to sit down with head football coach Bob Nielsen, and we dive into spring and what has been the focus of this group as they've gone through their spring practices. So we'll get into that coming up in just a little bit, but let's get it started with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota.
David, I feel like it's been a week of announcements in some regards this week. A lot of things going on, and we get the chance to talk about some of that. But let's talk about last Friday in Sioux Falls. Calling Out Coyotes event continues to be a really great event, getting so many people together who understand and appreciate the support necessary for college athletics and the University of South Dakota. But another very large crowd in the Sioux Falls Convention Center, and a lot of fun for a Friday.
It was a good way to spend a Friday. I mean, there's so much work that goes into it, but Calling All Coyotes has really become our signature event, and something that so many people look forward to, not just those that solely support athletics, but are really connected and tied to the university in one way or the other. You know, with all the proceeds and the money that's raised from this go towards scholarships. And so you're really helping the educational mission of the university by going there. Sounds odd to say that you're helping us by spending the educational mission by spending money, but that is really what it comes down to. But what a great event to see so many people there. It's continued to grow. It's, you know, going back fairly long ways with this thing, knowing that at one point in time we held this at C.J. Calloway's, which isn't even there anymore. That's where Lux is in Sioux Falls. We used to, at one point, held it at the exhibit hall at the Ramcota. We've held it in the Student Union here. So it's definitely seen some changes over the years, but now turning it into kind of a really nice evening, an evening to dress up, an evening to just kind of get together and see people that, A, you probably haven't seen in a long time, not just the people, you know, that you'd be able to see the people at your table, but literally there were so many people that were there that I found out later. You see their images or their photos on social media. You know, I've got the seating chart, so you kind of know who's supposed to be there, and you still try to get to see people. It's difficult, as you can imagine, to try to get, you know, have time to go see 800 people. So, but really, I think that's one of those that we can't thank all of our supporters of Coyote Athletics and the university enough for making something like that such a special event. And it's, you know, we might have the prizes and the auction items in the program, but it's their presence that makes that evening such a special night.
Yeah, and you talk about even just being in the Sioux Falls Convention Center, how much that event has grown. We've gone from about a quarter to a half of a room to needing multiple rooms to fit everything in there.
We did have to they did have to knock out another wall for us to be able to fit all of this in here. So, I mean, to have over 800 in there, you know, I think we could probably fit in that same configuration probably maybe 10 more tables, and that's probably 100 more people, and it's really going to fill up at that point. But, you know, that's going to be our goal.
Yeah, keep growing. Great opportunity. All of that growing means that we grow as an athletic department, and the growth continues as an athletic department. And it was officially announced this week. If people have driven by, they've seen the dirt work start to move on that wellness center. We've talked about this a number of times over the last couple of years, but the addition of the pool to the wellness center is just going to be a great thing for the swimming and diving program.
Unbelievable for our own student athletes to be able to almost have just one time to practice that the whole team could practice together versus having to practice in like three different segments to be able to fit everybody in a pool. But as much as it's going to benefit certainly our swimming and diving programs, as well as our triathlon program, it's really going to be an unbelievable benefit to campus and to the Vermilion community as a whole, with not only, you know, you've got your 50-meter pool, but you're also going to have an activity pool, kind of a hot tub or a warming tub as well, you know, different elements that are going to be kind of as a part of this whole process, really start to complete the wellness center, right? Because when we built the wellness center, this is actually the second phase of the wellness center. There potentially could be a third phase, and that was all when it was originally designed, because it was built to be able to add more court space, workout space, and studio space. And so those are things that down the road that we can attack. Now that might be 10 years, 12 years down the road, but think about it. I mean, that opened up in 2011, about that time frame. So we're about 10, 12 years removed from that, and I can see us as campus continues to go and continues to try to provide opportunities, that center, the wellness center itself, will have to continue to grow again. But for the immediate time frame, just to be able to see dirt move, dirt getting taken out, and that whole process of the construction side, that's the exciting part.
Well, and I know you always appreciate a campus project that benefits students at USD, but also benefits the athletic department. This is a great collaboration.
It really is. And so many people coming together, both across campus, and certainly the Vermilion community support to the project has been integral to having it to continue to move forward. And we're still fundraising, so we still need to close the gap and to financially support the facility. So that will be ongoing. But right now, just to be able to be full steam ahead is a very, very welcome sight for a lot of people on campus.
Yeah, no doubt. Anytime you see dirt move, you can start to picture what eventually is going to be there. Big announcement this week regarding basketball. Summit League and Big Sky have agreed to a challenge series over the next three seasons, which will give our basketball teams, both men and women, an opportunity to play a home and a road game with the Big Sky School each of the next few years. And it's hard not to notice that's set for January, which we're usually playing conference games then. But start with just the challenge in itself and how it kind of came together between the two leagues.
And I think things like this start from the commissioners, but it also starts from the commissioners listening to the schools. And certainly our schools in the Summit League find it more and more challenging to find games, competitive games, Division I competitive games. And the Big Sky was in a very similar position. And also knowing that in many cases you'll find Summit League schools already playing Big Sky schools. And so you could probably find them on over half of each membership that we're playing each other in some capacity or another. So this really just allows us not only to formalize it, but then also allows us to dedicate, okay, this is exactly when it's going to happen. So it's going to be this particular week, and you can build it up into that particular week, a little bit of rivalry among conferences. But really for us, it's the ability to be able to count on two more games to have a little skin in the game while we do it against another conference, which and a conference that we compare ourselves to.
Scheduler makers are going to love this for each of the teams because it's two games they don't have to go get.
Exactly, right?
But it's also interesting if you read through the releases, it's the matchups are going to be set based on the previous year and kind of how teams finish, really, not only in the conference races, but net rankings and stuff like that, which should make this top to bottom a very competitive situation.
Right, because that's what we wanted to do. Is I think we're going to take either a 2 or 3 year rolling average of their combination of the net, maybe RPI, KenPom, those types of things. So you can really get historically have the teams that are going to be very similar in the type of success that they've had, be able to play each other. You certainly don't want any blowouts, but you also want to have make it all those games competitive. So those matches kind of get predetermined. And I think it actually fits better to have the matches predetermined and to have the dates predetermined rather than just leave it up to individual programs to do it, because it would get pretty scattered otherwise if you tried down that road. But overall, I think you're gonna find it kind of an interesting matchup because, so both for the men and the women in the series, in that week in January, you'll play one home game and one road game in that process. So, and knowing far enough in advance who you're going to play allows you to arrange travel. If this matchup didn't present itself and who your opponent was for only 2 or 3 weeks ahead of time, makes scheduling both travel and everything around that a lot more difficult.
And it's obviously in January, which means a couple of conference games have to get adjusted. And I know that the article said the first year it's kind of going to be wherever it fits in the schedules, because some of these teams have already scheduled non-conference games. Is that going to be an inconsistent potential first week of conference games?
It potentially could. I think what we're going to try to do is any of those games that are previously contracted, the goal is to try to play them in January at that time frame, because now we have to move those conference games back into either, I can't remember if it's late November, early December, but we're going to have to move those games as well. And Well, right now we're just focused on getting the schedule done for the 23-24 season, but we've also talked about trying to get this particular the Summit Big Sky Challenge moved earlier in the season so you don't have to break up a conference season with a game like this. But some of those details are still need to be worked out, but right now we're just kind of focused on the 23-24 season.
Well, it'll be an exciting new challenge series for both the Summit League and the Big Sky Conference as well, and we'll look forward to seeing those matchups when they get announced. You know, we've been talking about softball the last few weeks, and they've had a hard time getting on their own field, and Mother Nature tried her darndest this past weekend to keep them from playing at Nygaard Field, but you know what? Softball fought through it. They got home games in Vermillion. And won 2 out of 3.
They did. It was, you know, you would have thought, especially by the weather that we had last week leading up to this when it was in the 80s and, you know, almost approaching 90, that we were really looking for a really nice weekend, and it didn't turn out to be that way. Having to push the games on Saturday back to 3, 4 o'clock was tough just because of weather, the conditions and the rain forced us to push that back, and then the wind started to pop in. So we got, you know, we got almost a game and a half in on Saturday. The second game was suspended due to darkness. We had to finish that up on Sunday morning at 11. We lost, ended up losing that one, but then turn around in the third game and really took control later in the innings, fourth and fifth inning, and really kind of took charge, and then ended up being able to finish it out only after six innings, being up by 8 at that point. But able to win the series and able to finally play some home games.
Yeah, and they earned it, those home games. And then they had to grind for wins.
Boy, did they ever. I mean, grind because the wind.
Because the wind
was a grind. You know, coming on Sunday, there were gusts 40 to 50 miles an hour that they were battling. So, you know, you're hitting it to the fence. That's a heck of a poke, knowing that you probably had a 35 mile an hour straight wind just coming right at you. You know, that wind was just pouring right into Western's dugout. They must have enjoyed that. But, you know, you're sitting there behind the home plate at the scores table and then the box there. And then you had a couple of things. A, you're better off if you're wearing glasses because you didn't have to worry about as much sand in your eye. And you better keep your mouth shut. Otherwise, you can get a mouthful of sand. I mean, dirt. I mean, it was when some of those gusts came in, I wasn't sure if we were the dugouts weren't going to blow away.
Well, you got to blame the marketing group a little bit on this deal, because if you plan to give away stocking caps, Mother Nature's going to make sure that they're usable stocking caps.
Right. If you got to be an optimist on that. Give away like visors.
Right.
Or something, but stocking caps, which ended up coming in very useful both
they
days.
Sure did. There's no question about that. Well, I know a lot of people know that the football team has been going through their spring practices, and it all wraps up this weekend, a little spring game event, scrimmage opportunity for football. And I know fans, we usually get people in here to watch that scrimmage, and it's an exciting time to kind of celebrate, hey, we're at the end of spring football, but we're not far away from fall football.
Right, and it's, you know, so it's 1 o'clock on Saturday, so it'll probably go, you know, coaches look forward to spring ball because it's the culmination of, you know, all the work, of course, during the spring, but at the same time, you want to play really hard and really take a look at some of the things that you've installed and you've worked on all spring, but you also don't want to get anybody hurt. It's that double-edged sword. But it'll probably, I would imagine, it goes for about hour and a half, somewhere in that time frame. And then, you know, once we conclude, let the players kind of mingle with their parents afterwards, but we'll have a meet and greet afterwards with all the season ticket holders and the coaching staff up in the Dome Club. So, really looking forward to, and actually, honestly, everybody's welcome to that. I think if you're a season ticket holder, it's free. If you're not a season ticket holder, it would be, I think, it's $5 to come in. And we'll have kind of a very short program as far as that's concerned. Bob will speak, but then I'll also give him a chance to introduce all the coaches, and especially the new coaches, to all of our fan base.
Yeah, well, it'll be exciting. I know our fans will get to know those coaches very, very quickly, and it'll be fun when the fall season rolls around. You know, we've been talking about the Mother Nature and the weather, and hopefully it's going to get nice because we've got Summit League Golf Championships happening, and the women play this upcoming week, and then the men the following week, and they're just down the road from us.
They are. You know, so both those championships will be down in Lincoln, Nebraska, at the Wilderness Ridge Golf Course. So the women play Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, so that's the April 23rd to the 25th, and then 1 week later, the men are on the same course. April 30th to May 2nd in Lincoln. And so, yeah, real quickly, we're going to be able to wrapping up those seasons. And so kind of what we've started to build towards are the Summit League Championships. Really nice golf course, too, down there. Probably fits our game to a tee pretty well. Any of those courses that you got a lot of hills and trees and bushes, it's not good for our game. But anyway, looking forward to that. And it's, you know, really kind of signifies, you know, the end of really the season. And then, you know, we got a week after that, we'll have Summit League Track Championships are going to be upon us, and then softball championships are upon us. So real quickly, it's getting real as far as closing things down.
Yep, it's going to go fast here over the next month or so, and we'll have about everything wrapped up. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. Again, if you have any questions for David Herbster, we've got a few more podcasts left here in the podcast season, if you will. You can submit those on social media, email yokecast@usd.edu, or reach out to me directly, and we'll try to get your questions for David Herbster answered. And this is kind of a rough estimate, but I believe after this particular episode, we're going to have about four podcasts left for the season. We'll take a little break and be back in August. So get those questions in if you have them going into the summer. Otherwise, you got to start a file on all the questions you can think about over the course of the summer.
The South Dakota football team wrapping up the spring season this week with a spring football practice and scrimmage on Saturday in the Dakota Dome. We're joined by the head football coach, Bob Nielsen. Coach, it seems like not long ago we had signing day number one, signing day number two, and in the blink of the eye, we're at the end of the spring season. Does this stuff continue to just fly by for you?
Yeah. Spring has gone really, really fast. You know, to get 15 days in, and we actually had our schedule compressed a little bit and did it over a little less than a full month. But it's been good. Guys have responded really well. You know, truly feel we walked off the field every day a better football team.
How much does it take these guys to get going again? You have them for winter workouts, then you get into spring, you know, and there was kind of a break between the season and winter workouts. These guys itching to get back on the field?
Honestly, I think they're excited to get back on the field. You know, work 8 weeks of winter workouts tends to drag, although I feel it was really productive for our football team. But they were ready to get gear on and get on that field, and I think particularly anxious offensively to learn a new system and to gain confidence on that side of the football.
You look back at last season. Obviously, it was a very difficult schedule. It was a tough year, a disappointing year for many. How have the guys responded? Obviously, wanting to turn things around very quickly.
They've got a little chip on their shoulder, which is not a bad thing. You know, coming off the 21 season where we, you know, made the national playoffs and got a taste of that, and then, you know, coming into that 22 season, we knew we were going to have to play really well early, and we didn't. And then against that schedule, you know, got off to a really slow start and didn't, you know, gain the traction that we needed to gain with those remaining games to put enough wins on the board to be back in the playoff picture. And our guys understand what that takes. We've got a lot of guys that have experienced playoff caliber type football, and they know that we've got to be a better football team than we were a year ago.
One of the big changes, obviously, that people are well aware of is you have a new offensive coordinator, you've got a bunch of new assistants, and essentially that offensive staff overhauled, really, a lot of new faces in that group. Spring, you always talk about this is about us and us getting better. How much of this has been just a learning opportunity, not only for the players, but this is a staff that has to come together quickly?
Staff's done a great job. It is all new learning. And talked about that going into the spring with our players. It's new learning, but everybody's learning together, and I think that's the best way to learn. And our staff has done a good job of working together, presenting the offense in a way where our guys are gaining confidence in it. We talked about that after our scrimmage here a week ago, that you know, there was some good things, there were some bad things, and we've got to keep building on those good things, and part of that is continuing to gain confidence in what we're doing offensively.
How do you navigate trying to quickly learn with this offensive staff, but not do it too fast that things, you know, get missed? Because the little details, as you know, are very important.
Going into spring, we talked about, hey, we're not going to put in things until we feel comfortable with the things that we've already put in. And, you know, I think we might have at one point in time got a little too much in. We really backed down there, and we quit installing anything significant about after the second week. And just really focusing on some subtleties within the stuff that we have in. We do have a lot of offense in. And there's a reason for that. You know, part of what you do in the spring when you put in a new system is you figure out, hey, these are the things that we're going to be really good at, and those are the things that you build on for the fall.
What have you seen out of Coach Davis as he's taken over this role as offensive coordinator?
Yeah, very, very smart football coach. You know, he has a good understanding for the game. He's used our staff really well. We've got a really good staff on that side of the football. You know, they're being really good at being collaborative of, you know, in terms of getting our system and tweaking our system moving forward. But you're going to see a lot more formations, a lot different uses of personnel than I think that'll be the thing that fans will notice the most. A lot of the concepts maybe will have some carryover, but the way we play and how we apply those will be different.
Are you officially giving off the play calling duties?
Yeah. You hire an offensive coordinator to provide the leadership on that side of the ball. He's done a really good job there, both with our players and with our staff. And you know, excited. There'll be some growing for him this spring too, as he sees what our guys do well. And as we head into fall camp, though, I really feel that we'll have a good base to be able to build forward from.
It's an interesting offensive staff, multiple guys who have served as offensive coordinator at different schools, different levels, that type of thing. So very interesting game planning opportunities coming up in the fall.
Yeah, a lot of experience. You know, got some youth. At the same time, that youth has a lot of experience. You know, we have FBS experience, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of coordinator experience, even some head coaching experience on that side of the ball. But we've got really good football coaches that understand what you have to do to win at a high level, which is what it takes in our league.
Defensive staff largely the same. Obviously, a couple of new positions. Some guys got opportunities to do some other things, but your defensive coordinator, Travis Johansson, still intact, and a group that has continued to grow over the last couple of years.
Yeah, defensively, you know, we've been a better football team the last couple of years for sure, and I think our guys really do have a great deal of confidence right now in our system and what they. What we've got to do in this league, which first and foremost is being really good against the run. You know, you have to be able to stop the running game and put people into positions where you can get them off the field on third down. And we've been really good, and we've been able to do that. And we've got experience back at every level on the defensive side of the football, and that's shown in spring practice. And I think we've got a little bit more depth than what we've had in the past, which will be welcome.
Yeah, certainly depth is very important. As you look at that defensive group, a group that continues to build depth, and some of these guys now have been in this system and playing for USD for a while. I feel like we've seen some of these guys make some mistakes as young guys and continue to build a lot of growth, though.
Yeah, it's great to start, you know, with two All-American type inside linebackers, you know, with Brock Mogensen and Stephen Hillis, neither of whom are taking a lot of live reps this spring as they're coming off of surgeries from the fall, but they're like you know, having to hold the reins back on a thoroughbred horse right now in terms of how they want to get out there and run around. So, but we're excited to have them back. But they're a great group of leaders and great group of players. You know, up front, we feel really good about our interior depth, which has always been an area of concern for us. And in the secondary, you know, a really, really good front line and some guys behind them that have had really good springs. So I like the experience in that group and what that group has looked like here over the course of the spring.
You mentioned Stephen and Brock, and I've noticed this spring they stay really, really engaged. Even though they're not out on the field during contact drills, they're watching the signals going in. I've seen multiple times race over to some of the young guys and help in teaching opportunities. Says a lot about those guys.
Yeah. Coach Hodge has done a really good job of keeping those guys engaged, even though they're not taking live reps in team periods. And they're just naturally that way as well. They're really smart football players. They see things really well. That's what makes them good linebackers. And they've been coaches on the field for not just our younger linebackers, but also across the board defensively.
Back to the offense, obviously last year Aiden took over at quarterback, and I know he's been trying to make some strides going into the spring and obviously into the fall season. What have you seen out of his growth in a short time?
He's matured in a lot of ways, you know, both from a playing standpoint, from a leadership standpoint. You know, he's been learning as well, learning a new system. There's been some days where, you know, we've looked better offensively than others, but Aiden's got that kind of savvy about him that you want that position to have, where he doesn't get rattled. You know, he's able to provide that kind of leadership, and he throws the football really well. He's really good at distributing the football. He understands our passing game and spends a lot of time on that and continues to show improvement.
You look at guys behind him, the running backs. Obviously, everybody knows Travis Tice. Nate Thomas was coming on so good at the end of a fall a couple of seasons ago. And then Mike Manzeray, we've seen flashes of him and some of these other guys. It feels like that group has continued to grow.
Got a nice group there. You know, Travis Tice and Nate Thomas, both, again, guys that were holding out of live action in the spring, but are fully cleared and 100% ready to go. You know, excited to have Nate back. He'll be a great complement with Travis, as we all saw in his freshman year before he got hurt a year ago. Mike Manceray has looked good. Another young guy there that has really come on in spring. Charles Pierre, a true freshman, has looked really good. So we feel like we've got good depth at that running back position and position where you're going to use that depth throughout the course of the season.
How do you feel about the pass catchers right now? You look at obviously the tight ends and wide receivers mixed in there. It's going to be some new names and new faces catching the ball this year.
Yeah, that group still a little bit of a work in progress in their development cycle. Coach Bagnell's done a good job of pushing that group along. You know, Carter Bell is without question, you know, the leader of that group, a guy that we need to find ways to get the football to over the course of the season. He's stronger. I even think he's a step faster this year and has looked really good in the spring. You know, some other young guys there that people saw last year and Javion Phelps and Jack Martins, who had some big plays for us, are guys that, you know, we're going to need to lean on in that group. And then there's, you know, several others that continue to show a lot of promise, confident that we'll be able to build a nice group at the tight end position. J.J. Galbraith, who people saw as an every down player last year, you know, has a chance to be a year better this year, and he's a very dangerous receiver. He's working on becoming a better blocker to really be a full complement tight end.
felt like for years we never had to talk about new players in the specialist group. And now for, I think, the second straight year, you got some new players involved in there. And obviously almost a whole fresh group now.
Yeah, it will be. Three seniors that left us and three outstanding seniors when you look at Eddie Ogamba and John Bickle, and then, of course, Dalton Godfrey, who was a mainstay for us at long snapper. We've got what I think is a very good returning punter in Tyler Ebel, who honestly, he and John Bickle, you know, could have been a, you know, pick 'em situation last year, and we decided to redshirt Tyler and very talented. Will Leyland, who was our backup kicker, has been very, very solid on all of his placement looks. And then Jackson Marks, who backed up Dalton at the long snapper, returns. But we're also going to we'll bring in one of each in this incoming class as well to have that kind of depth that you need in that specialist position.
Overall, how do you feel about the progress that's been made here in this spring? It goes fast. You pinch it all together, but I know you're monitoring that progress.
Yeah, what you want to be able to say in the spring is that you're a better football team every day when you come off the field, and I truly believe we've been able to say that. We've worked together really well, offensively and defensively. We've both been able to install the things that we needed to install, but also have worked together to ensure that we're getting the type of work that we need to build a new offensive system, but still keep advancing a defensive system. And that's been exciting. You know, I feel really good about where we're at and our ability to springboard into fall camp. And that's really what spring practice is all about. You know, you want to be fundamentally better. You want to build confidence in schemes. And it's a real focus on you for depth building. And I think we've accomplished all three of those goals.
We know that the practice sessions end on Saturday. What's the process following spring practice as you evaluate your football team? Obviously, there's a new window for the transfer portal. You take a look at that. But what's your process going forward, making sure your team is where it needs to be as you go into then eventually summer workouts and fall camp?
Yeah, well, we saved a little space in the recruiting class to, you know, address any areas where we feel like our depth is a concern, and we will do that by adding a couple of additional transfer-type players to our roster. I talk about building championship depth, and you know, that's a combination of development and also recruiting, and we've got a really good freshman class coming in, but there's going to be a couple of positions where another experienced player is going to be important for us in finalizing out the incoming group. Our guys will get a little break. They've trained really hard and then basically came back from spring break and went right into spring practice. They'll have final exams to focus on over the next 2 weeks, and then a little break before we get them back here in early June to start another 8-week training cycle that leads into fall camp. And we've got a great group, a great leadership group in this football team. That's one of the things that I think is significantly increased is the amount of guys that we've had that have taken leadership roles within our team, and excited for that group to have a great summer together.
Well, I know for football fans everywhere, it's an exciting time with these spring games, wrapping up the spring sessions for teams everywhere. Coach, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. And hope you enjoy a little bit of time off yourself before you get back into the grind.
Yeah, appreciate it, John. Thanks very much.
That's Bob Nielsen, the head football coach at the University of South Dakota. Obviously, the Coyotes looking for a big bounce back year after a really tough year last year. And tell you what, they put some players in position. Some guys are taking the next step in their level of play. And obviously, almost the entire offensive coaching staff overhauled. A couple of the new defensive coaching staff, position coaching members are on the staff as well. So really excited to see what this group does. And there's going to be a lot of work done for the coaching staff, really, here over the next couple of months and all that before they get into the grind of the summer, because they're going to be ready to hit the ground running, obviously, when it comes around, because they want to get off to a fast start. You know, you got the University of Missouri right out of the gates, and then a couple of home games and an opportunity to get yourself above 500 there early in the season. You got St. Thomas at home, Lamar at home, and all of that leads into the Coyotes their conference opener, which is in Fargo on September 30th. And then, of course, will be Dakota Days. We'll have Youngstown State, a couple of back-to-back home games. So a lot of home games early in the year. And I know we've talked about this before, but after you play Missouri, South Dakota has four of their next five at home. So a real opportunity for this group to get off to a fast start and put itself in a position to, you know, be talked about as a playoff contender. And that obviously is what you want to do. So we'll see how things play out for USD. But obviously, coaching staff trying to get up to speed and all of that good stuff and get all the players on board. It's all going to be a big thing here moving forward. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Now, take all of this with a grain of salt, because if you look at the weather forecast, it's not exactly beautiful for the weekend. So a lot of things could change, but the women's soccer team is scheduled to play at Wayne State for, I believe, a couple of games on Saturday. We'll see if they get those in. Football spring game is Saturday at 1 o'clock, and softball is scheduled to play in Omaha, two games on Saturday and a single game on Sunday as well. Big games coming up for Coyote softball, no question. And then the women's golf team is set to compete in the Summit League Championships. That is Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It happens in Lincoln, Nebraska. Wilderness Ridge is the course that they will play. And then track and field on Monday is going to host an abbreviated version of the South Dakota Challenge. That is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. On Tuesday, then, softball is scheduled to host Creighton in a doubleheader. We'll see if that happens as well. Obviously, hopefully by then, the weather looking a little bit nicer into next week, but more home games coming up. And before you know it, track will be at the Drake Relays, and that kind of takes us to the end of April. So that is what is going on in Coyote Athletics. As always, with the weather and all that good stuff, stay up to date with all the changes at goyotes.com. All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Hope you can join us. If you can't be there in person, join us for the spring game broadcast beginning at 1 o'clock on Saturday. We'll be on the air for about 90 minutes or so on Saturday, and we look forward to bringing all the action to you from the Dakota Dome in Vermilion. All right, that's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend, and as always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.